Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. It starts there, and just go a few verses. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages in that area. I love that it says cities and villages, because where we live, we are not the most populated city. But we're bigger than some, right? I drove through Baronet, Wisconsin this last week. That's about maybe three blocks long. I'm sure it's a little bigger than that. A couple of houses and an overgrown ball field. It wasn't used in a while, I told my wife. She goes, "Oh, it looks old." I said, "Yeah, the infield has like weeds about this tall. They keep mowing it. That infield hasn't been used." I like that it says villages. He cares about people in small, out-of-the-way places. The world knows the term Sparta, but it's not because of Sparta, Wisconsin. I want you to know he went to cities and villages. And if you live in this area, the chances are you're probably more from a village than you are a city. I know La Crosse is here and surrounding area, 100,000 people or whatever it is. But he takes time for people, and he goes to out-of-the-way places. And he hasn't changed. Let the word of prophecy be assigned to you this morning, that God, and all around the globe and all the places meeting on Sunday and Bible studies and underground churches, and they meet at different times, all of this, and God still said, "Sparta, Wisconsin, I have something to say there." You matter to him. And you're in his mind, and he has a purpose, and he cares about you. So don't worry. Don't worry. So Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease. You might feel like you have a rare one. Every disease. Every disease and every affliction. You think your affliction may be physical or of the heart. You think your story, nobody has a story like you. Maybe it's true, but every affliction, whatever's afflicted you, he has you covered. And it doesn't matter where you live. How big or small, he's got you covered. This is so hard to do the condensed version. I'm trying, brother. And the church said, amen. Yeah. Hey, when you got to go, just go. All right. Now, I will not try to keep you long. There's been a lot that the Lord has done, really, this morning. Yeah. So, when he saw the crowds, these different places, he had compassion for them. That means that he had passion for the afflicted and the troubled, enough of that to put himself aside and take care of them. Hey, mothers, you ever been tired? And then your kids come in and make a mess and don't help? And the list goes on. And then your husband comes in. You're already exhausted. But you love them beyond your own need at the moment because you care for them. You're a nurturer. It's what you do. I want you to know you're getting really top dollar for that. You're getting paid big. You follow the Lord and make it there, your reward is huge. It's going to be huge. You've been faithful. You've done your part. You're going to have lots of jewels in your crown that you get to lay down before him. Okay. I have to jump back into the condensed version. So he had compassion. Now listen, he had compassion for them because they were harassed. You ever been harassed? You know what that is? They were harassed by life, circumstances, by the devil, by other people. They were being harassed. Every turn, being harassed. And then get this. It's nice when we're being harassed and then somebody shows up, right, to take our defense for us so the harassment goes away. Listen, he had compassion on them because he recognized that they were harassed and they were helpless. They couldn't stand up and defend themselves to the demands of life and the attacks of life, maybe the attacks of humanity, circumstance, the devil himself. He had compassion because they were harassed, and it's like they just couldn't do anything about it. They were helpless. And get this phrase. He says this, metaphor, they are like sheep without a shepherd. Like sheep without a shepherd. I want you to keep in mind that the metaphor in Scripture, God's people, we're referred to on different occasions as sheep. Because he's the good shepherd. That this life, it harasses us. It's a hassle. And we get afflicted. And we carry stuff with us. Sometimes unresolved. And then new stuff comes. I want you to know this morning that as God looks upon you, he has compassion. If you have been harassed, afflicted, and you feel like you've bumped into your limitation, and you don't have it to overcome all of this on your own, he looks with compassion on you. It doesn't matter if you've been holy or unholy. I mean, it matters, but it doesn't affect his compassion. Because he knows that we're limited and we're lost. We can be, if we are like this and we don't have a shepherd, we're in trouble. I'm doing the condensed version. I mean, I have a list of things of what sheep are like and what they will do when they don't have a shepherd. Because, see, to kind of put it in a nutshell, a shepherd's responsibility is to tend to them, to lead them, to feed them, and protect them. Sheep are fairly smart. They're really social. But here's the thing. They can't protect themselves. They can run away, and they can come to the herd, and they can turn around and face whatever they're concerned about. But they don't have a defense. Sheep don't lay down and rest because they are worried about what they're going to eat next. Now, if they can see food, they rest well. Here's the other part. They will lay down and rest if they can see. This is old-time sheeping. This isn't about sheep around here who are in a pen like an acre. We're talking about free-range shepherding. You're walking across land, and you're leading them everywhere, and they're following you. Okay? We're talking about free-range shepherding here, not in pens. They don't know where to go. They don't know where to find food. They could maybe smell water and get over there, but it's not necessarily something that is good for them to drink. And if it's rushing water, forget it. It needs to be fairly still. It can have a gentle current, but it's got to be something easy to drink from. You see, the interesting thing about a shepherd is he knows more what the sheep need than the sheep themselves know what they need. You keep that in mind for your own life, because you and I think we know what we need and when we need it and how we want it and all this kind of stuff. I want you to know that the shepherd knows more than the sheep about taking care of the sheep. The shepherd protects them. It allows them to rest. The shepherd leads them. So he leads them to lay down. He also leads them to move. Here's the interesting thing about when the shepherd leads the sheep to move. It's also enables the shepherd to identify who's sick, who's lame, who's weak, who's old, who's young. Because the healthy flock get up and move. But the rest, they struggle to get up, or they're lagging behind, or they're at the back. It allows him to keep an eye because he wants to care for them. You know, it talks about shepherds anointing the heads of sheep with oil, and they'd use a lot of it and on a regular basis. They would take and shear and trim around the eyes and the ears and the nose, and cover it with oil because it would keep the insects off of them. It would keep plague away from them, disease, by doing this. The other part is it keeps the sheep from being distracted and losing its way and not being able to keep an eye on the shepherd. You take all those things and apply it to circumstances and things in your life. And the only way that you're going to be cared for is if you keep an eye on that shepherd and you recognize his voice and you pay attention to him. And if we get disconnected, maybe it's because we got distracted by things. And it will set disease into us. And yet we're sheep and called the flock of God. But it has been to a detriment. You stay near the shepherd, he's gonna trim you up. And he's going to cover you with oil to keep you from getting sick and to keep you from getting distracted. That whole oil related to anointing, I want you to know that he will give you a power, an anointing power, if we stay near to him and allow him to do this. That anointing power is going to give you a power over a lot of things in this life and in your walk with him. And when you keep an eye on him, you will not fear because you know you're safe. In this current world, he will be with you. But you're not leading. He is. You know why he's up front? Because he prepares the way. He's the first one into the room. Some of you are military and some of you have had active duty. There's some of you that had to kick in some doors in some very dangerous places. He's the first one going in. He prepares a way for you in your life. Every conflict, every closed door, every trouble, every sickness, every disease, every conflict that shows up around your life, everything. You follow him. He prepares a way for you. And some of them are narrow passes and they look a little treacherous, but he goes before you and he prepares a way for you. You see, he's the good shepherd that John 10 talks about. I'm not going to read it all because it's a condensed version, but you read John 10. You will see the things that make up a shepherd. He loves his sheep. He understands their needs better than themselves. He knows what makes them sick. He works tirelessly as a provider and a protector. He puts his needs last. He puts his own safety at risk for the sake of the sheep. That's the good shepherd. That's not the hired hand. Hired hand will say, I'll just go work somewhere else. I'll get a job somewhere else. Not the shepherd. I'm not going anywhere. This is where I'm at. It's who Jesus is. You can count on him. Jesus doesn't have sick days. And he doesn't go on vacation. He will be with you always. Are you getting the affirmation this morning, Darren, that your word was timely with the message? And only God can put that together. Darren and I mean, he's smarter than me. We're average, a little above average. We're not smart enough to put this together. Only God can fit this together for you this morning, for me this morning. He searches for lost ones. He prepares the way. He disciplines the sheep for proper social behavior, conduct, and order. Sheep are very social. And so he has to discipline them so that they don't fight. How to conduct themselves in a community. He comforts them. Gives him rest. He also makes him move. Psalm 23, it just wouldn't be right. I'm skipping over some other things, but Psalm 23, I know you're familiar with it. But would you maybe just listen to it this morning like it's the first time? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. For that to be the case, you better be following him. If you find yourself in want, maybe you're disconnected. We all have lean times and prosperous times, I get it. But he's going to take care of you. He makes me lie down in green pastures. I can see where the next meal's coming from. He's here. He led me here. I can lay down. I can rest. I can rest. He restores my soul, my mind, my will, my emotions. He restores them. I don't have to constantly be worn out and empty. If you are, maybe you need to look where the shepherd is. We all have our moments. We get tired, we work, we're weary, we're exhausted, but there's a time to be restored. That's a word for probably somebody here. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He leads me in the right path. Okay? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Let me rephrase it. Even though I live here in the United States of America, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. And your rod and your staff, They comfort me. It's comforting to be disciplined. It's also comforting to see that rod and that staff act on your behalf to protect you, guard you. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And then I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Stand up with me. Don't get disconnected from the shepherd. Don't get disconnected from the shepherd. It's not how far away from the shepherd can I live and still keep an eye on him. But I can get away with some stuff out here because I'm outside his reach. I can see him. That's good enough. I don't want to be left behind, but I still want to do some things my own way. It's not how far away we can get and still make it. You get close to him, you keep an eye on him. You will be at peace no matter what you face, because you have, as I've preached before, you have a shepherd who stands in the valley with you. I don't know what the valley represents to you right now in your life, but there's a shepherd in there. And he knows the way out. And he knows how to lead you beside still waters that you can be refreshed. Yeah, that still waters in Hebrew, it's translated to refreshment. He knows how to refresh you. He knows how to give you rest. He knows how to let you see food and eat good. I'm not talking about gluttony. I'm just talking about life, okay? He knows how to take care of you. But you got to stay close to him. Don't get disconnected from the shepherd. He gave his life for you. I want to remind us of that. You know what that means? It means you can trust him. Because he has your interest in mind, not his own. He has your interest. You. You interest him. Your life. He's very interested in your life. You can trust him with it. He already laid down his life that he has undone the work of the devil. He's already undone it. Something troubles you right now. I want you to just quickly bring it to him. Just bow your head, close your eyes, everybody. If there's something that's troubling you, just would you bring it to him right now? This is maybe for somebody or some people here. Well, it's for all of us, but specifically at this time. And that's you're a little bit pious and you look down on other believers. And so you don't have any compassion for them. And it's not that they've done everything right, but you don't have compassion on them. I want you to receive the discipline of the Lord, because that's not good social conduct in the kingdom. And the shepherd sees it. So receive the private discipline of the Lord. Have a change of heart. Let me remind you that he's the only one that's holy, and he's the only one that has everything figured out. And he has looked upon you with compassion. But if you don't show compassion to others, you have now directed the Lord to no longer have compassion towards you. See, the grace you use is the grace you'll be given. The compassion you show will be the compassion that you are given. So receive the gentle discipline of the Lord. You know the attitude within your own heart. And this morning with his staff, he kind of bopped you on the head. Behave. You're called to live within community. As much as sheep and people bother you, you are called to live in community. It actually provides you help, even though you think you might have it all together.
Thanks for joining us on the Lifecast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.